Mark chapter 14, verse 12. It says, on the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb was being sacrificed, the disciples said to him, where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover? It's an amazing. They just asked, where do you want to go? You tell us what to do. That's what disciples do. That's what disciples do. Lord, you're the Lord. Where do you want me to go and what do you want me to do? And it's amazing how he said, you know, on the first day of unleavened bread. And we know that unleavened bread is bread that's it's sinlessness, right? Because leaven always represents sin in the scriptures, right? And so if we're eating unleavened bread, then we're eating bread that doesn't rise, that doesn't have any sin. And it's a type and a shadow of what was to come in the Old Testament is what they were doing. And if we have our, we're going to have celebrate communion today, but even the matzahs, right? It's got all the holes in it to make it cook quicker. I think it's 18 seconds per slice that goes through, they said. Why? Because in the Old Testament, in Exodus, he said, hey, make haste, cook it quickly, because we're out of here. You know, and I want to encourage you, you need to make haste with the time that we have, because pretty soon we're out of here. We need to make haste with the time that we do have. Heaven forbid we look around and say, I got tomorrow, I got tomorrow, I got a week, I got a month, I got 10 years, I got 20 years. You might not have tomorrow. And so I would encourage you, make haste to build into someone's life. Make haste to live in such a way, knowing that we've been washed and cleansed and made whole, and all power and authority lives on the inside of each and every one of us. No one here is lacking anything. Tell your neighbor, say, you lack nothing. Isn't that good to know? You lack nothing. That's powerful. You ever look at somebody else, another ministry or whatever, and say, man, I wish I could do that. You can. There's nothing you can't do. There's no place on the planet you can't go. It all depends on what you want to do. How many people go nowhere? It's because they determined to go nowhere. How many people never go in a mission field because they made a decision not to? Outside their house is the biggest one. But we make a decision. He wants us to get outside of our comfort zones. He wants us out there with the lost, you know. And he says on the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb was being sacrificed. And four times every spring, there's feasts. And three of them happen all in the same week, right? Passover, that's one night. And then we have the week of unleavened bread, right? And then we have the, it's said, or it's pronounced in the Hebrew, Habacharim, and it means the Feast of First Fruits. And it always occurs on the Sunday after Passover. It's the Feast of Harvest yet to come. I want you to know there's a harvest coming in your life. You must see that. He's the first, the Feast of First Fruits. He's the firstborn from the dead. Amen? Right. So he was that, the fulfillment of everything that they wrote, that God wrote about in Exodus. Jesus becomes that fulfillment in it. He's the firstborn from the dead, and he's the one that is interested in the harvest. He's interested in the harvest field. He said the fields are what? White unto harvest. They're ready to be harvested. He said, don't wait no more. Stop waiting. I want you to know, I showed you these feasts. These feasts were all types and shadows of Jesus coming. When God created the feast, he had Jesus in mind. When the Passover was first accomplished in Israel, in Egypt for the Israelites. When that Passover happened, right? The scripture says that they painted the blood of the lamb on the doorposts and on the lentils, and the death angel passed over. That death angel could not permeate the blood. Can I tell you, there's no devil in hell that can permeate the blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing, when we walk under the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, there's nothing that can stop us. If you're afraid of something stopping you, if you're afraid of failure, if you're afraid that, well, what happens? Then my family's going to be attacked. But there's nothing that can get through the blood of Jesus Christ. Even the death angel, the most powerful, fearful thing on the planet, death, he had to stop at the door and say, no, I'm walking on by because of the power of God in that place. Why did they put the blood on the lentils?
They did it out of an act of faith because the word said so. Moses said, this is what you are to do. Jesus said, this is what you are to do. Put that blood, paint that on your lintels, paint that on your doorpost. Remind yourself of the power of God that was manifested in you through the blood of Jesus Christ. That now greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. Amen? That nothing shall be impossible for you. Communion is about remembering all that God did and what he's about to do. I believe that God wants to do a little bit more on the earth. I believe that Jesus is coming back. And I believe that there's a lot of people waiting for that time and doing nothing. Not here. I believe there's a lot of people that are afraid to do something because they don't understand all that God has promised and all that he has said and all that he's willing to do. When God established the Feast of the First Fruits, he had Jesus in mind. Everything about those feasts were pointing to the one that was coming. Jesus being the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world and the first fruits. Mark 14:13, he says, and he sent two of his disciples and he said to them, go into the city and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. You know what's strange about that is that wasn't a man's job. Back in the first century, that was a woman's job to carry the water. Women, that was women's work back then. And yet he said, you'll find a man carrying water. Probably if he said, go look for a woman carrying water. There's 100 of them. Which one do we look for? I don't know. It's a possibility. You don't know. You weren't there. But it's a possibility. There was only one guy carrying a pitcher of water. One, you know, and there's no one has an exact commentary on it, but one man said he likens it to the Holy Spirit being poured out because he's carrying the water. He said, hey, the man with a pot of water on his head, follow him to his house and he's going to pour that out. Isn't it like the Holy Spirit leading people to go and share communion with Jesus Christ? So as we look at the word of God, Jesus says to these guys, just go look for the one man with the pot of water on his head and follow him to his house. You know why? All of the mystery in that. Why did Jesus say that instead of just saying, hey, go down there on Habakkuk Street number 223 and go to the third floor? Now, maybe he didn't want Judas to know where he was going. The Lord knows Judas was already ready to do the deed. Maybe he didn't want a crowd following him. There's a miracle. Jesus didn't have a crowd following him. Amen. He said, go and find that man and he'll show you where he's going. And then Jesus shows up later on because he wanted an intimate time with his disciples. He wanted them together with him, the closest disciples, to have one meal in order to fulfill all that was written in Exodus and to bring the church into that place where it's going to explode. But people have to understand the power of that meal. In Mark 14:21, it says, for the Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him. The Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him. Jesus couldn't change anything. Oh, that we would obey that scripture, that we would only go and do what we were called to do. That we would be those that would serve the way it is written in the Word of God. That would be those that that would go just as it is written in the Word of God. That we would be those that will give just as it is written in the Word of God. Or love as it is written in the Word of God. Or to think as it is written in the Word of God. Or to say just as it is written in the Word of God. And to lay down our lives just as it is written in the Word of God. See, it says, for the Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him. Can I tell you, there's been something written about you before you were ever born. Each and every one of us in here. There's been something written about you. And you don't have to raise your hand, but my question is, are you walking in what was written over your life? Are you walking out what has been prophesied over your life? Are you walking in the freedom that he has promised you in your mind, your will, and your emotions? Or does someone else in this building control how you're going to respond today? Does it depend on if somebody greets you or shakes your hand this morning? If you didn't come in the front door, then I might not have shaken your hand. But I went out there about 8:45 this morning to try to greet as many as I could, or as many as came on time. I'll look down. God's got a plan and a purpose. And he wants us to grab a hold of what he spoke over us. Communion, which we're about to take today, that communion deals with the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And we do this in remembering. What do we remember? We're remembering what he wrote in his word, and then we're remembering what he did and what he accomplished and then what he promised. How many know the promises of God are really good for us? How many know the promises of God bring joy into our hearts? Right? When the promise of God is spoken over our lives, all of a sudden, in the beginning, I remember being in over in Greenville, and I think it was a Thursday night, and Pastor Vig was teaching on the promises of God, and I hadn't heard him before. Hadn't heard all the promises. And he started going through the promises of God. Everything was that was in me. I was like, oh, I get to walk in that. Oh, that one's for me. And it just became so personal. And it started to change the way that I thought about the things of God. Because I wasn't waiting anymore for someone else to watch them walk out the promises of God. From that point forward, I'm like, I want to experience all of these promises in my life. I want to be able to enjoy them all. Because if he said, yeah, I can have them, I want them now. Right? Like, what was her name? The blueberry girl on Willy Wonka? I want them now. Right? That's the way my mind was thinking. If you said that blood was enough, and when I partake of this communion, that at that moment there's an agreement with what you said was accomplished, and then now all of the promises are yea and amen, and they're mine, then I want to start now. I don't want to wait to see somebody else walk it out and then watch them and say, oh man, I wish I would have. I wish I would have agreed. I wish I would have stepped out. I wish I would have. I wish I would have. Some people are wishing their lives away. Amen. Some people are sitting back waiting for God to do something. Well, God, if you want me to do that, you're going to have to move. Can't tell you how many people, you know. Well, that's not for me. What, the promises? No, the promises are good. What's not for you? Salvation? No, salvation is good. What's not for you? The gift of the Holy Ghost? Oh, no! Baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's for me. What's not for you? That plan that he had. That's not for me. Because I've got a plan for my life, and this is what I'd like to do and I'd like to accomplish. But God's got something more spectacular for your life than you've ever dreamed of before. I want you to know, whatever he asks you to do, don't wait. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't back away from it. Don't allow fear to grab a hold of you and say, you can't. I want you to know God said you can do all things through Christ. There's nothing lacking in you. Leviticus 7:11, it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I've given it to you and on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. Jesus obviously performing or fulfilling all that the Father had spoken, the Lamb of God taking away the sins of the world. And you know, they when they offered the lamb in Exodus, they said, eat all of the lamb, leave nothing. Eat it all. And I believe that what God is asking for is that we do all that he had said. We believe all that his word has spoken. Some people want him as Savior only, not as Lord. Some people are leaving that piece off. I don't like that part of it. But I believe that he is our Savior, and I love that part of it. But I want you to know, he said, I'm your Lord also. He didn't say, hey, if you feel like it. He didn't say, if you're having a good day. He didn't say, if I bless everything you touch and you don't have a bad time. He said, I am your Lord and your Savior. When we come to Jesus Christ, both aspects of that now are summed up in the Word of God, and he's calling the church to rise up and to lay down everything about ourselves. That's what the Lamb has purchased that. He purchased it all. He didn't just purchase your salvation. He purchased everything you need to be successful and accomplish what God called you to do. I'll get nice now, okay? No, don't get nice. All right. Exodus 12, 19 and 20, it says 7 days and there will be no leaven found in your houses. For whoever eats what is leavened, that person shall be cut off in the congregation of Israel, whether he is an alien or a native of the land. You shall not eat anything leavened. In all your dwellings, you shall eat unleavened bread. And he's talking about sin, getting it out of your house. I want to encourage you, go through your house. Go through your house if there's anything in there. Anything. Go through your phone if there's anything on there. Go through your computer if there's anything in there. Whatever it is, go through it all. And say, Lord, I don't want nothing. I've had enough of dabbling. I've had enough games. I don't want any of that in my house any longer. I don't know. Did anybody besides me dabble when you first got saved? I was like, well, that's okay. Well, that'll be all right. And then I remember when the pastor came to my house, because I was into sports, and my sister got me a subscription to Sports Illustrated. Don't need to say any more, do we? Then the swimsuit issue came, and we threw it on the thing, and I didn't think no more about it. Somebody turned me into the pastor. Was it any of you? Somebody did. Now, I know the guy who turned me in. I went to school with him. Came over and had dinner at my house, and then they turned me in. Pastor came to my house, said, we need to talk. I was petrified. Scared to death. He said, yeah, they said you have pornography in your house. I'm like, what? Bring him here. I'll punch him right in the face. No, I said, you know what? There is no way. I have not. I don't. Oh, yes, you. Well, this is what they said. What? You show me. Find it. I don't know. He said, what about that? I was like, didn't see it as that. Got that stuff every year. Didn't even think that someone would associate that with it. Now, is it? Yeah. But I didn't realize it. I'd just gotten saved. Didn't pay any mind to it at all. So what we do, we threw it out quickly while the pastor was there. Wanted to look good. And he said, well, brother, and I was mad. And he said, well, brother, it'll be all right. You know, sometimes when people are going to lead, you're going to have to go through these things. You're going to have to walk through this to see how you handle it. And this is helping you grow. So don't worry about it. You got rid of it. You're good. Let's go on. And I said, oh, yeah. All right. We'll go on. And he left. As soon as he left, I told my wife, who does he think he is? Come here and tell me what to do in my house. Who does he, what right does he have? She said, why didn't you tell him? Because I'm a man, that's why. I was strong and, yeah, scared, like a 10-year-old. And then I had to go back and repent to the people that came and ate dinner at my house and turned me into the pastor. You want to learn how to die? Go and do that with a good attitude. Took me 5 weeks to get a good attitude, I'll tell you. Had to work through some thoughts. Had to work through some ideas. But as the pastor said, if you want to lead, you're going to have to walk through this. And then God grows us up and he teaches us how to walk through it. And God doesn't even want a little shred of sin in your house. He doesn't want it. He wants you getting rid of it. He wants it out of your house. Listen, don't let your friends come and tell me what's going on and invite me over to your house. I don't want to come to your house. You go deal with your house. I don't want to come. A couple people I think I'm going to have to visit this week, though. People turned you in. You watch. There'll be dumpster day on Monday. I want you to know the blood of Christ, it comes to wash us, and then that bread, he said, look at all of this stuff was paid for so that you could be free. But sometimes we don't see everything that God wants to get rid of in our lives. Amen? Sometimes people have to come alongside and say, why did you do that? Why did you say that? Why did you act like that? And we get an attitude. But I want you to know, if you're going to lead, you're going to have to deal with your attitude. Tell your neighbor, say, get rid of your attitude. Tell your other neighbor, say, I'll let you deal with your own. Listen, some people you say, hey, you better deal with that attitude. I don't have one. And get out of my face. God wants each one of us. Listen, this whole thing about communion, of what God wants to do. I think that sometimes we take communion for granted. I don't think that we see the power in it all the time and the intimacy of it all the time. I think that sometimes we go through a religious ritual. And today, I don't want to do that. Personally, I think out of all the scriptures, it's the most powerful meal in the universe for all of eternity. When Jesus set the table and brought all of his disciples together, he said, look, we're not going to do this again until you see me in eternity or in paradise. This is the last time that we're going to do this, the only time that we're going to do this. And he even sat with the one that was going to betray him. But he knew that this was something that he had to accomplish to prepare them to remember over and over and over what he did and what the purpose of it all was. Psalms 105:37, it says, and he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not a feeble person among the tribes. Right after Passover, he brought them out of Egypt, and it says there wasn't even a feeble one among them. This is a meal that heals. This is a meal that strengthens. This is a meal that makes whole. This is a meal that renews. This is a meal that destroys the lie of the enemy over your mind and in your heart. This is a meal that opens up the windows of heaven and rains down on each and every one of us. Anyone who takes it with a humble heart, he said, look, some of them are dying when they're taking it. Why? Because their hearts aren't right before the Lord. If you've got something against someone, you need to go and forgive them. My buddy that I went to school with, graduated with, that turned me in, I had to go and forgive him. I didn't take communion for a couple weeks because I had to go and get my heart right before the Father. If you've got anger or bitterness or unforgiveness towards someone, I want to encourage you, please don't play games with God. He wants you free. He wants your heart so free that when you see that person, and you know what? Me and my wife have gone on to serve God and go fulfill it. They went off and they're not walking with the Lord at all. Not walking with the Lord at all. And it breaks my heart. And I've gone after him. God gave me such a love. I went after him over and over and over again, talking to him, trying to get him back in the kingdom of God. Why? Because I got set free. Why? Because of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and that bread. It changed my heart towards him. Was it a big deal? Then it was, not now. You know it's not a big deal when you can preach about it to everyone. You know it's a big deal when you are afraid that someone else will find out you made a mistake. You've made many, I've made many. It's the most powerful meal that there is. Kev, you guys want to, can we get the worship team up here? And then go ahead, guys, you want to hand out the elements? Exodus 13:8, while they're handing it out, don't get distracted. It says, you shall tell your child on that day, it is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. I want you to know, this is something we need to be doing in our homes, is doing communion. This is something that you need to tell your children what it's all about. You need to describe to them the power of the blood, how that lamb was sacrificed in Exodus. And then they put the blood on the lamp, and the death angel could not enter that house. How the whole lamb was eaten. They didn't leave out anything. The whole of Scripture we need to stand upon. But telling the story in every generation that God delivers those who suffer from oppression, that God works in liberating the whole world, is a central task for those who trust God. If we don't tell God's story, other stories will rush in and fill the vacuum. How many stories are being told to kids right now? Because parents have forgot to tell them of the power of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The bread and the wine. Why is it that now in households, they don't teach the children about communion? They don't walk it out from generation to generation. Are there other stories filling that vacuum in America right now? Are there other lies that are coming in that people are having to have conversations with their children about? Instead of talking to them about communion, the power of it. This is the only place. This is the only place where faith is tangible. God said, I want you to grab a hold of the cup and I want you to take that bread in your hand. Faith is something that you can't see. Amen? He wants you to do something in faith. He wants you to trust Him at His word and step out in it. But this meal right here, this is an act of faith. You can see the blood. You can touch the bread. The body of Jesus Christ that was broken for each and every one of us. This is where faith is seen, it's tasted, and it's touched right now, believing that what God spoke over your life will come to pass. Believing that your whole family will be changed. I don't know about you, but I like that one. I like knowing that as I stand on the word of God, that everything in my lineage has changed. It already has. It already has. Those curses were broken in the name of Jesus. They were broken. And I'm truly free indeed. But you see, if we don't speak this to our families, if we shy away from it and say, no, it's for the pastor to do. No, everyone in here is a priest unto God. Amen. The Bible says we are a kingdom of priests. That means every one of us can do communion as often as we like to remind us of all that Christ has done. That He sat with those men. Would it be possible for me to get some? All right, I repent for the magazine in my house, all right? Thanks, Kev. So glad I get to join you guys today. He said, when you do this in remembrance. This is the blood of Christ that washes away our sins. This is the bread, the body that was given to each one. You know, and as we look at the bread, the body that was surrendered, so often we look at the stripes, and that's true. We look at the crown of thorns, and that's true. The nails in His feet and His hands, and that's true. But before any of that happened, He surrendered who He was. And He said, I'll do the will of the Father. Amen? He said, I'll do the will of my Father in heaven. And this morning, this is a meal that brings healing. I don't know if there's anything that you're struggling with in your natural body, but those stripes are for you. They were for your healing. Those stripes, everything about His sacrifice was not only for your natural man or your spiritual man, but also your mind, your will, and your emotions. All encompassing, everything that Jesus paid for is for your freedom. He doesn't want anything left out. He wants us completely whole this morning. Amen. When we partake of this morning, the promises of God are activated in your life. See, because we're doing this as an act of faith, amen? And as you do this as an act of faith, saying, I believe that that body was given to me. I believe in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that destroys every curse, that wipes away all the guilty stain. When I believe it, and at that moment when we take this, I want you to agree that faith is activated. The promises of God start to activate in your life and through your whole family. Because that's why we do this. Remembering the price that was paid for our freedom. Amen? It's complete. It's done. It's finished. He did it all. Can we agree with him this morning? Can we stop holding back and saying, well, if I see something different, if I feel something different. Oh, we were talking about that the other day, about how the young men of today are walking by their feelings like nobody ever know their God. Gee whiz. Rather than the Word of God. Rather than what the Word says. This is not about a feeling. These are about facts, that our God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes, what happens? What do you get for believing? That's right, everlasting life. Anyone that believes. So this morning, as we take communion, your faith is activated. The promises get activated in your life once again, stirring you, every one of us, up to faith and good works. Every one of us. His promises start to come alive in your heart and in your mind. His promises. The 23rd Psalm, right? The Lord is my shepherd. He's leading the sheep, isn't he? I shall not want. See, when we have him, we have everything. But is that enough for all of us? And that's what some, you each, everyone here has to ask that question. He is my shepherd, I shall not want. That shepherd laid his life down for me. He beat up the bear and the wolf. He took on the lion. He took them all out of my life through the power of the blood. That one that lied to me and said you should be afraid all the time. The one that lied and said you're a failure. The one that lied and said you're rejected. Nobody's going to love you. He destroyed all of those that came after you. And he stood in the doorway. And every one of them, every one of those demons had to keep walking past your doorstep because they couldn't permeate the blood of Jesus Christ. He said he makes me lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Maybe you're here this morning and your soul needs to be restored. Maybe you've been through the ringer this week or this month or this year. I don't know. But I want you to know when we take of this, there's a restoration that comes according to his word to your soul. He does it. Verse 4, he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. You're with me and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Maybe you need comfort this morning. Maybe you got a family member that's out of whack, or maybe somebody's mistreated you. We partake of this morning. He's going to comfort you. You prepare a table for me. This is the table that he's prepared for us. This is the table. A table of more than enough. More than you could ever dream of. A table placed before you with more grace and more mercy than you could ever use. With more love and kindness than anyone could ever give you. He's prepared it all. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the body of Jesus Christ this morning. Lord, I thank you for that which was given to each one of us. Lord, we're so just
over the top, out of our minds, excited about the power of your love in our lives. And Lord, this morning when we take of the bread, we're reminded that you gave yourself completely. You held nothing back so that we would walk in our freedom. And Lord, this morning, not only do we remember the stripes that were given and the crown of thorns and the beatings and the nails that pierced your body, but Father, we also remember the victory that was given to each and every one of us through your obedience. We remember that your plan was before the beginning of the world, that you had already prepared the sacrifice. And now that sacrifice is seated at the right hand of the Father. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. Today, Jesus, we say thank you for walking out the plan of the Father. Thank you for taking those stripes, for giving us our healing in our natural bodies, giving us our healing in our hearts, giving us our healing in our mind as we read your word daily. Thank you for healing all of the wounds that the enemy tried to beat us down with. You made a way where there was no way. And Father, we thank you for that this morning. When we partake of this, you said it's the body of the Son of the living God. And Lord, we know that right now, as we activate our faith and we step out and say, when I take this, this meal starts to heal every area of my life. Thank you for it today, in Jesus' name. And Lord, today as we take the cup of a new covenant, the cup of blessing, the cup of a new life, the cup of transformation, cup of deliverance, we thank you for that blood, the spotless blood. Lord, today we acknowledge that as we take this in faith, we activate the word of God in our lives. We activate every blessing in our life, every promise right now. As we take this, we agree that you're for us, and if you be for us, who could be against us? We agree that sin has been destroyed by the power of your blood over our lives. No longer does it consume us. We agree that there's no longer guilt or shame or condemnation over our lives, but we truly are free indeed. We agree that as we receive your Holy Spirit, he'll lead us and guide us. He'll keep us. He'll comfort us. He'll watch over us, and he'll even teach us what to say when we stand before those in authority. Lord, when we take of this, we remember that day when you offered your son so that you could have a family, sons and daughters that fell in love with you and walked in that place where heaven touched earth. Today, Lord, we no longer desire the lust of the flesh, but we desire to walk in the Spirit. We desire to walk in the promises of God. We desire, and we're going to walk out the call that you have placed upon our lives. This blood seals it. It seals the promise. It seals our salvation. It seals our eternity. The power of the blood is more powerful than anything else on this planet. So, Father, today we do it as an act of surrender, as an act of obedience to the only true and living God. There is no other, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, today, I pray, Lord, that as we walk out of here, Lord, we start to read all the promises that you have spoken over our lives.
Lord, once again reminding us of what an amazing Father we have. Once again reminding ourselves that what you said you were going to do, you accomplished it. Oh, you gave us type and shadows all through the Old Testament, but now, today is a certain day. It's a day that for the rest of our lives we'll remember. I tasted and I have seen the goodness of God in the land of the living. I have touched the body of Christ. That blood was enough for our lives. And I'll walk it out in authority and power from this day forward. Lord, we forgive every single one that's ever offended. And Lord, I pray for so much grace and power, as your word says, that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be satisfied. And Lord, that we would walk out of here, that no matter who's offended us, Father, we're so satisfied with you, we still reach out to them. We don't hold back. We don't hold back. We pity them. We feel sorry for them. We show grace and mercy on them because we're walking in the fullness of all the promises of our God. And it's yea and amen because we believe in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, and we give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. Thank you for activating our lives right now to accomplish what you have sent us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. God bless you.